Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So we're carrying on in our little series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we are looking at the theme of peace today. So we've had love and joy and now peace. And it seems to me that quite a lot of people have things to say about peace. Here's a few quotes. See if you can work out who said them. Who said this? "Animals don't hate, and we are supposed to be better than animals." Any idea? Sorry? No, it wasn't Richard Attenborough, David Attenborough. Linda, do you know this one? No, it wasn't Mother Teresa. I know Roger was just answering that one. It's fine. This was actually said by, if it comes. Do you want to move it on, Andy? Yeah. Elvis said that. That's why I asked you, Linda. I thought you'd know every word muttered out of his mouth, but clearly not. Clearly not. Yeah, thanks, Elvis, for that wisdom. Okay, try this one. "Peace begins with a smile." Good guess. I mean, I'd be amazed if you actually do know this. Unless you actually read the quote, you probably wouldn't know. Well, Roger, do you want to answer this one?
"Peace begins with a smile."
Yeah. You see, Roger, I asked you because it was actually Mother Teresa who said that one. If only you'd said the same answer, you know. "Peace begins with a smile." That's quite good. That's quite good, isn't it? Perhaps. Okay, a couple more. "Peace is the greatest weapon for development that any people can have." I won't keep asking you, but I'll let you... And if you get it right, you can stand up and cheer or something. So... this was Martin Luther King Jr. "Peace is the greatest weapon for development that any people can have." There's a couple more. I never know where to point this, Andy, because that isn't the right place, is it? "There is peace even in the storm." Sounds sort of Christian-y, doesn't it? He didn't actually, but thanks for giving the answer. I was trying to say sort of Christian-y. He certainly gave us calm in the storm, didn't he? But let's, that's actually Vincent van Gogh who said that, or Van Gogh. I don't know what's the correct pronunciation these days, but last one. "Don't be the missing piece in the jigsaw called life." Don't be the missing piece in the jigsaw called life. Do you like that quote? I made that up myself. I tried to sound really intelligent, but I think it's just a bit useless really, isn't it? Yeah, that was me. It does seem, though, that everyone has something to say about peace. And, you know, they're not all bad things. They, you know, some of them were quite good, quite thought-provoking, and a lot of truth in some of those things. But we sometimes understand peace, don't we, to kind of mean, you know, that we have that picture of perhaps lying on a beach or in a nice garden, and it's all tranquil, and, you know, there's no noise, there's no kids running around, there's nothing to think about, there's no worries, and that's kind of our picture of, well, that's what peace is. Often, we think like that. And that is, to some extent, peace, but it's very short-lived, isn't it? That doesn't last. Nobody's life is just like eternally lied out on a sun lounger, you know, with no worries or no cares or nothing going on. That is not reality for everybody. And so as we begin to look at some of what the Bible says about peace, we begin to realize that there's a much deeper inner thing going on in us when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit producing peace within us. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it's often used in reference to kind of calm and tranquility of individuals or groups or nations. And we understand peace in that way as well, don't we? That sometimes it's an individual peace. Sometimes it might be for a group or a family or, you know, perhaps a church. And we understand peace sort of globally as well, where there has been conflict between nations and then we have a peace treaty, for example. This chap here, Alfred Nobel, set up the Nobel Peace Prize. Just recently, I think last week, two journalists were given the Nobel Peace Prize for their work for kind of showing justice and trying to report on things like that. Alfred Nobel woke up one morning and, true story, having his breakfast, reading the paper, read his own obituary in the paper. There'd been a mistake. And unbeknown to many people, Alfred Nobel actually was influential in creating nitroglycerine, which is what they use in dynamite. And as he read his own obituary, he was described as the merchant of death. And as he read that, he suddenly thought, I don't want to be remembered forever as the merchant of death. And so he invested his entire fortune into setting up the Nobel Peace Prize. Changed his legacy. It's a great story of being almost given a chance to decide how he wanted to be remembered. And now everyone knows the name Nobel as peace, don't they? Unless now, well now you don't, you now know there's a bit more of a backstory. And I always am challenged by that story because it makes me begin to think, well, what sort of legacy am I going to leave? What sort of legacy are you going to leave? How do you want to be remembered? Now, we're probably not in a position, most of us, to do what he did. And it's been done, hasn't it, now? We perhaps can't do that. But we can choose to be people of peace. And the Bible has much to say about peace. And as the fruit of peace is growing in us, well, what can we do? How can we change our legacy that, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to be remembered as somebody who was a person of peace or a person of love and joy, and hopefully all of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit.
1 Thessalonians 5:13.
You see, these are some of the ways that we can begin to be people of peace and to change our legacy and to live in this way. Live in peace with each other. Well, they are six words which if everyone in the entire world did, wars would instantly cease, wouldn't they? Conflict would be gone. Thanks, Paul, for these words. Easy to say, perhaps quite hard to do. But Paul was writing here to a church. He's writing to Christians. And so he's saying to these Christians, well, you need to learn to live in peace with each other. See, it's this whole way that we can be distinctive from what's going on in the rest of society. It's what makes us, I hope, become obvious, stating the obvious sign, like those signs at the beginning that people will say, do you know what? Those people from Godston Baptist Church, God, they really do know how to love each other. How to live in peace with each other. And God's word is not bound to the past or the context that this was written into. It flows into our present time. It flows into the right now. And so as Paul said to the Thessalonians, live in peace with each other, God says that to us too. It's got to start with us learning to do it. These words were written for us. But we can't make people live in peace with each other. But what we can is choose to be obedient, and we can choose to say, well, we're going to try and live in peace. Now, that doesn't mean that we become a doormat and allow people to walk all over us. That isn't what living in peace is. But it does mean that perhaps we have to work through conflict with other people. If there's some amongst us that have a disagreement about something, that we work through that. Living in peace does mean that there's times that we have to forgive each other. You can't move on if you're still holding a grudge. It means praying for one another. It means perhaps laying down our own things that someone else might be able to offer their things. Live in peace with each other. Oh, how I pray I can start to do that more. And for you as well. We're encouraged, 1 Peter 3:11, we're encouraged. The first bit says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Peace is in us, but we can also seek it. To have a desire to obtain or achieve. This is what it means to seek. It means it kind of drives us forwards. And pursue means to follow or to chase, to proceed along, to actively go for it. So although we have the peace within us, we can also seek it. We can also pursue it. A few years ago, I spent a good hour looking for my glasses. Couldn't find. How do you lose glasses? Anyone who's a glasses wearer says easy. Exactly. If you wear glasses, we all know it's really easy to wear lose your glasses. If you don't wear glasses, you're thinking, how do you lose your glasses? Thing is, if you lost them, you can't see to find them. It's a vicious circle. So I'm looking for my glasses for about an hour. Then I walk past a mirror. I'd been wearing them the whole time and I hadn't ever checked my face. Now you're wishing, why did we get Mark as your minister? Because I do stupid things like that. Sometimes I'm a right idiot. An hour wasted of my life looking for something. But you see, the point is, when it comes to peace, the answer is often right in front of our face. It's right there and still we don't see it. To seek, to pursue,
means to look no further than Jesus. If you've been a Christian a long time, you think, it's obvious, isn't it? But still we miss that sometimes, or we forget it.
Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. This was before he was even born, the prophet Isaiah, wonderful prophecy, which no doubt we will read in a few weeks, well, a few months' time, nearer to Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this wonderful prophecy, and Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. See, as we seek more of Jesus, as we pursue a deeper relationship with him, we find a greater understanding of all of these things. We find a deeper understanding of what this peace really means. It's right before us. We're to seek it. And to pursue it. Jesus himself lived it. He was it. And he even taught about it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who do something about it. Don't just sit back and accept the conflict. They actually want to make peace. I wonder, is that you? It's not always me. Sometimes we might be conflict makers a bit more than we're peacemakers. And we might sometimes say, oh, it's just how I'm wired. It's just how I am. I just have to say something. Well, there's a place for that kind of spirit, I believe. But never just accept that's how we are as being the way that God wants us to be. He accepts us as we are, but he doesn't intend to leave us that way. Because he wants to make us more like himself, doesn't he? Blessed are the peacemakers. There is blessing in being active in seeking and pursuing and living out peace. Jesus lived it, he talked it, he demonstrated it, he encouraged it. But more than that, the reading we read right at the beginning, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. My peace I give to you. Jesus gives us it's a gift, it's a present. Jesus gives us part of who he is. Any of you who have a garden and perhaps one of those mesh sort of fences near the garden, you may have experienced this as well. Actually just down near where I live here, I was walking to work the other day and I noticed this, where you get a tree that has grown very closely to the fence. So closely that eventually the fence and the tree begin to become one. Do you know what I mean? I love it when that happens. I think it's fantastic that suddenly the tree is growing through the fence and there is no way that fence is coming off the tree because it is now surrounded by the tree. It's the two have suddenly become one thing. And I like that image because as Jesus is saying, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I think the intention is that we take it so much on that we become one with that, that it becomes part of who we are and we can't detach ourselves from it. We had those quotes earlier. Well, this is a great quote. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest authors, written so much about Christianity, which I don't think anyone can top, really. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. Peace is found in Jesus. Real peace, deep peace, true peace, genuine peace. Jesus has deposited part of himself into us. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. His example and his teaching and his peace in us. Ages ago, I was in a service station with a friend of mine, and we're just about to get back in the car to carry on our journey. And as we're walking to our car, this man gets out of his car and stops us. He's like, "Boys, come over here." So I'm like, "Okay." So we walk over. Brings out this box. "Do you want to buy a watch?" I'm looking at this watch. Lovely box. And he's like, "I know this sounds dodgy," he says, "but, you know, I'm a salesman for this watch company. I've just been at this conference and we had some samples, and these samples left." I was getting excited. I was like, "Yeah." He showed me, a witch magazine, you know, the magazine, and his picture was in there. And I was like, "This has got to be genuine. You can't print your own magazine." Maybe you can. And he says, "Look, it's really," and he started showing them all the tests. "Look, it's scratch resistant and all of this." And he's like, "This usually retails at £1,000, this watch." I can't remember what make it was now. I'd heard of the make, but it was some make. And he says, "But you boys, £200, you can have it." Well, my mate was, I was getting excited. My mate was having none of it. And he went, "I really like my watch, thanks. I don't want yours." I wasn't wearing a watch. So I was like, "I really like it." And my mate's like, "What are you doing?" Eventually I walked away. Surely that was genuine. Surely. No, probably not. It was a bit of one of those dodgy things. But he had the gift, this guy. I mean, I was sucked in for a moment thinking, I'm about to get £1,000 watch here. And thankfully my mate, thought it was better just to pull me away from it. You see, the world gives us something which isn't quite as genuine. The world tries to sell us peace and tranquility. I mean, even washing detergents use that line. "Oh, if you wash with this washing detergent, you'll just have the most peaceful night's sleep because the sheets will smell fresh like daisies." You know, they're even buying into this. They're trying to sell us peace. That might work. Some of it, we might think, "Yeah, I do like the smell of my sheet. It does help me relax." That's okay. You're allowed to. Holidays, they try to sell us, "You come and relax, come and have some peace." All sorts of products. Even cars. "Come buy this car and it'll be a really peaceful journey." You know, no, it won't. I've got 5 kids. There's nothing going to be peaceful about it. It's all short-lived, that kind of peace, though. And at times some of it might be effective. It might, for a short time, feel good for us. But it's not deep. And in some cases, it's not even real. The peace Jesus gives isn't fake. It isn't short-lived. It isn't worth £200 when actually it's worth much more. The peace Jesus gives us, it's different to the world. It's lasting, it's effective, it's true. It's different But only when you experience it do you really know that for yourself. It's easy for me or for us to talk about it. But for those who have never given their lives to Jesus, they probably won't understand what we mean until you experience the peace of Jesus in that way. And what it means for us, this peace, what it means for us is that the troubled heart can find hope. That fear can turn into confidence. And I'm nearly done. Three last little things. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God and let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, his peace guards our hearts and our minds. It protects us in prayer. The thoughts and the worries and the stresses that we might be dealing with as we come to Jesus, his peace can guard our hearts and minds from these things overtaking us. And if you were here last week, you've heard this. You know I'm not saying that suddenly everything's all going to be all right. Because it doesn't quite work like that, life, does it? We still have troubles and it still can be hard at times. But in Jesus, his peace means the troubled heart finds hope. Fear can become confident. We are guarded, our hearts and minds, by his peace. And finally, Paul writing to the church in the Colossian Christians there, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And this really is my last 2 points. We have to permit and allow this peace that is in us to take a rule in us. To let it be so significant that it rules how we think and live for it to be effective. And why do we do that? Because we've been called to be people of peace. Yes, we can choose to pursue it and seek it. Yes, we have it in us. But we've been called to it, to be peaceful people. It's what we're meant to do. It's what we're meant to be about. And there's so much here. I know that I've thrown a whole load of Bible verses at you. I've talked about seeking and pursuing. I've talked about it being within us, Jesus depositing his peace within us. We're to live in peace. I guess my hope is that we grasp something of this and we invite and allow the Holy Spirit to move in us so deeply that this fruit begins to grow even more. As we practice it amongst each other, living in peace with each other, we then demonstrate it to those in our community. As well. We demonstrate it to our community. I'm going to pause and just allow God to cement this stuff down in us, to bolt it down in us a bit more. Listen, I know none of us get this right all of the time. But we've got to keep trying, haven't we? I have not got this nailed down. But I'm going to keep trying. Because this is what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Lord, we want to allow your word just to sink deeper into us. Lord, we don't want to just meet with you today and hear your voice, and as we leave, forget it all. We ask and invite you, Holy Spirit, to just bolt these words down in us. Lord, you know us individually, and you know the areas of our lives where perhaps peace feels a long way from where we're at. We invite you, God, to do a work in that. We give you access to it. And we pray that peace may reign within us. Jesus, we look to you, our example. Thank you that you've given us your peace. Help us. Help your peace to infiltrate every part of who we are, our body, mind and spirit. Just leave a short space for you to sort this out in your own relationship with Jesus, to tell him what you need to tell him, to allow him to speak into your life right now. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. May that be true for us, Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen.